Good to be with you this morning. Thank you all for who have signed in. Before we read the scripture, I want to just tell you about the subject that's on my heart for a few minutes. Of recent times, we've been involved with quite a few folk in different countries, and even in this province of Northern Ireland, and many have been speaking of basic, simple subjects that we need to revisit in these days. And so I have three that I've been pondering recently: salvation, restoration, and direction. I've been reading the history of Jacob in the Old Testament, an outstanding character in the Bible. And there are three nights in his life that he never forgot. The night that he was in Genesis chapter 28, when he was in Bethel. The night when he was in Peniel, chapter 32. And the night when he was in Beersheba, chapter 46. These illustrate for us. Now, it might not be the interpretation of the passages, but at least an application. They illustrate for us, first of all, the truth of salvation, then restoration, then direction. And so we want to think of Genesis chapter 28, if you have your Bible close, and we will read a few verses of that chapter. Genesis chapter 28, verse number 10. It says here about Jacob, verse 10, Genesis 28. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Notice in verse 11, it's a night scene. Verse 12, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Verse 15, God gives a message. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Turn a little further. Notice verse 19. He called the name of that place Bethel. Verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, since God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. That's a very interesting statement. Then shall the Lord be my God. And that's the first reading we want to talk about. I'll introduce the subject like this. We're now in day 45 of the new year, 2021. People are asking, how long will these restrictions last and conditions that we're living through? Well, nobody knows, only the Lord himself. And people are getting concerned. In fact, some places we have lost a number that used to be with us in assembly fellowship before this pandemic started around 12 months ago. So I want to talk about salvation, restoration, and direction. It's interesting that Jacob, he spent a night in Bethel, and he's linked with a dream and a ladder that he saw. When he's in Peniel in chapter 32, he's wrestling with a visitor from heaven. And in Genesis chapter 46, he's getting a vision, a message from the God of heaven. So here we are in our day. We want to illustrate this great truth of salvation. And we probably know the history quite well. But I was interested to notice that here's a little background. There was a father and a mother, Isaac and Rebecca, that brought two sons into the world, Esau and Jacob. Jacob was the younger son. As life went on, they had different characteristics and different desires, and it went into a conflict in the home. Jacob, in his late 70s, chapter 28 of Genesis, said goodbye to his father and mother, and he was going to the land of Mesopotamia. And the first day that he journeyed all day, and he came to Haran, Bethel. And he was so tired that he lay on the top of the ground, and he had a stone for his pillow. And God allowed him to have this dream. And in this dream, God spoke to him. The great bottom line is that he had a ladder set up. The word is staircase, set up on earth, and its top reached to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. God had a message for Jacob, and he said to him, "Now I will look after you, Jacob. I will look after your shelter and your food and your raiment, and I'll bring you back to your father's house again." When Jacob woke up, please notice, he didn't get this message and was saved in the dream. No. See, God speaks once, yea, twice, and in the dreams of the night. But he got the message, and when he woke up, he realized, this is the presence of God. God is talking to me. This is the house of God, the gate of heaven. He took on board, I take it, in his own experience, and his bottom line says, because of what God has done for me, I'm taking the Lord to be my God. And in New Testament language, at that very point, I take it, he accepted that the one that he would meet is the God of heaven, and that he had one son, and he would become one day the mediator between God and man, as 1 Timothy 2 shows. So someone says, well, how do you know that he was saved and in heaven? Well, the Lord says, for example, in Luke chapter 13, you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. So here's scripture to show that Jacob is in heaven. He was a man of faith, as Hebrews chapter 11 shows. Now we want to just pick out of that and illustrate our soul can be saved. And particularly most of us listening today have a moment in life when we learned our need and turned to Christ and accepted him as our Savior. And so the latter speaks of the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And so the ladder is what we sing with the younger folk. There's a ladder to heaven for me. It's Jesus, my Savior, who died on the tree. He's the ladder to heaven for me. And so in these days of uncertainty, it is most encouraging and helpful to go back to that moment in life's experience, whether you're a long time on the road or just starting out, when at the cross we first saw the light and the burden of our heart rolled away. So it's very, very important that every one of us know that we're absolutely sure and ready for heaven. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well might this glowing heart rejoice, and at its raptures all abroad. So we're thankful today above everything else in this life. We have this matter of salvation settled, and we're ready for heaven. We have made preparation, and should the Lord come this year, or this month, or whenever, we will go, as already been referred to this morning in our worship, that we'll be in the Father's house forever. Now here's a suggestion. The Bible doesn't say this, but I was just enjoying this point. The morning after this memorable night that Jacob had, and he lifted up his feet with determination as he journeyed toward Aram, Mesopotamia. If we had had the opportunity to just talk to Jacob and say to him, Jacob, are you saved? He would respond, absolutely. When were you saved, Jacob? I was saved at Bethel last night. That's when it happened. He understood beyond a shadow of a doubt. And we'd say to him, well, how did you have this matter settled? Well, he would tell you the truth of the ladder that he saw in the dream. And that brings us, as we have indicated, to 1 Timothy chapter 2, to show beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ is the bridge, the day's man, the mediator, the umpire between a holy God and ungodly men. So each of us, I hope every one of us today, are very, very thankful that ever we responded to the gospel call, and we're as clear today in our minds as we were when it happened, when we saw for the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our sacrifice, our great substitute, came in our stead. Now that is a truth that we need to revisit. And I'll tell you why. Some dear people we've been close with recently, and because of the circumstances that they're passing through, they're beginning to question their salvation. But you know, the Bible is very clear. Once in Christ, in Him forever. Next little passage I want to read is chapter 32 of the book of Genesis. So if you have your Bible close, I'll read you a verse or two from chapter 32. We'll just read the verses that we're thinking about. This illustrates the great truth of restoration. Look here, please, at verse number 21. Genesis 32 and verse 21. He says here, chapter 32 and verse number 21. He's going to meet Esau, as we'll see. This is Jacob. Verse 21 says, so went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the port Jabbok. Notice it's a night scene, as verses 21 and 22 show. Now down a little further, look at verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of his thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Here's an interesting verse. Verse number 28. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast had power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Verse 30, Jacob called the name of that place Penuel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Now that brings us to the second reading. We want to talk now a little about the great truth of restoration. A little background here to show where we have got to in chapter 32 of the book of Genesis. The day that Jacob left home, he didn't see Esau for at least 20 years. He spent those years with Uncle Laban down in Mesopotamia. God told him, get back to Canaan, get back to Bethel. He's on his way, where we started to read. And to appease the anger likely that Esau had against Jacob, he sent him a present. And where we read, he separated from all his family. He crosses the brook Jabbok, and it's a night scene, and he's alone. During the night hours, he wrestles with a visitor from heaven. And when the day was breaking, the visitor wanted to leave. But Jacob said, no, I want to be blessed. Well, interesting to notice the steps here. The man, whoever it was, maybe a Christophanes, touched the hollow of his thigh, and he could no longer wrestle. He could only cling. And in that situation, he says, now, I want a blessing. The visitor asked him a question, and Jacob, for one time in his life, was honest. What's your name? My name is Jacob. You see, in earlier years, he told his father that his name was Esau. But now he's honest. And the blessing comes as he's restored. The name is changed from Jacob to Israel, Prince of God. And Jacob is now in a different situation than he was before the night started. He's now in Penuel. As he leaves that, never forgot that outstanding night. And the sun shone as he moved, and the morning after the awful struggle of the night before. I want to suggest to you that this illustrates a great truth, restoration. See, Maybe we think we don't need to be restored, but I would suggest that all of us, to a lesser or greater extent, need to be restored. The sweet psalmist of Israel mentioned in our worship here this morning, in Psalm 51, he said he was the one that had the privilege of having his soul restored. That's Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul. Now, it's a suggestion to you. The joys of our initial time when we were saved, and we never thought that we would have a problem again, but we have all learned in life that the trials come, conditions change. Look at the changes we have lived through and are living through. And sometimes believers get away from the Lord and they get careless. And they don't read the way they once did. And they don't pray the way they used to. And so any of us can get into that situation. So here we are this evening, this morning, to just think about this great truth of restoration. You see, Jacob was a restored man. God touched him, and he went on his way thankful that he was now in touch with the God of heaven. People ask me all the time, how would a person know that they need restoration? Well, here's a very simple suggestion. Are we enjoying the scriptures the way we used to? Is God talking to us through the printed page? Have we a desire to pray with the way we used to? And any of us, doesn't matter who we are, to get careless. And these circumstances that we're living through will even bring this more to our attention. So the word this morning for all of us is, he restoreth my soul. It's an ongoing process, as Psalm number 23 shows. And I take it that David was in the mature part of his life, and he's looking back, and he's certainly saying from experience he knew something about restoration. And so the Lord help us to appreciate even what we sing many times. Psalm 23. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. So there might be someone who needs restoration, maybe all of us, and trust that we'll suffer a simple word that will bring us to this very point. Jacob is a tremendous illustration in the next part of his life, and we haven't time to go into that. So I want to read with you now a small section from chapter 46 of the book of Genesis. Chapter 46, please. Verse number 1. Notice where we are. Second part of the verse. Genesis chapter 46, verse number 1. And came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto God of his father Isaac. Notice this next verse. And God spake unto Israel, and he said to him, he says, verse number 2, and God said unto Israel in the visions of the night, it's a night season, Jacob, Jacob, Jacob said, here am I. Listen to this verse. He said, I am the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Look at verse number 5. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives, in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. Now, I want to then talk for a few minutes about this other great truth, the truth of direction. Now, here's the background to this situation. You recall that there was a mighty famine across the lands of Egypt and Israel and different other countries for 7 years. And here the sons of Jacob are returning for the second time. And they're bringing rituals for sustained life, corn and so on. On this occasion, Jacob sees wagons and goods in the wagons. He likely wondered what it was all about. His son said to him, Jacob, Pharaoh in Egypt has sent these wagons and provisions. The one that allowed it is your son Joseph. Now just imagine, these were the very same boys that years before they took, you remember, they killed the kid of the goats and they dipped the coat of many colors in the blood and they gave it to the father when they returned. And the father said, yeah, this is Jacob's coat, Joseph's coat, and some evil beast has devoured him. From there on out, he thought, Joseph is dead. But all of a sudden, years down the road, he's confused. He says, these are the provisions and wagons from Egypt. It's enough. My son Joseph is yet alive. I'll go down to Egypt to see him. Now that very night, as we have read, God in a vision talked to Jacob. And he said, now Jacob, don't be afraid. Go down into the land of Egypt and dwell there. And we recall for around 400 years in the land of Goshen, the nation became mighty. And then they were taken out by Moses and all the rest of it. So here is a man. And he illustrates for us this great truth, the truth of direction. There might be someone in our company today, any of us, and we're at a point in our life right now where we need direction. Whatever the circumstances may be, whether you're a mature believer, whether you're a younger believer, or maybe not long saved, but all of us need direction in our life. So I want to notice that in the Old Testament, in the different dispensations, God made his mind known to his people. It was always in a physical sense. Like, for example, there's Gideon and the experience of the fleece in Judges chapter 6. Gave the man direction and guidance as to the way forward. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, when David was going to attack his enemies, he really didn't know what to do. But the physical reason and direction was this. When he hears the leaves and the mulberry trees, it's an indicator you go forward. Exodus chapter 15 and 16, the nation of Israel, as they journeyed through the wilderness, they had something physical to direct them. The cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. If it was stationary, they stayed. If it moved on, they moved on. Whenever we come to the New Testament, it's a slightly different idea. Now, believer after Pentecost is indwelt by the Spirit of God. And we have all the Word of God, the complete canon, 66 books. So we are in a situation where God, the power of the Holy Spirit, can direct us in life through the circumstances that we are experiencing as we read the Holy Scriptures. It might be your daily reading, it might be a Bible reading or a ministry or whatever, but God uses His Word to direct. We have seen it again and again. You have asked me several times, how did you know that I was in these circumstances? Well, I said, I haven't a clue. I've just arrived here. How would I know? But that's the Spirit of God using His Word to direct His people. Examples? Well, in the upper room, the Lord Jesus Christ told them in John chapter 16, Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will guide you into all truth. That links us with the Scripture and how we can get direction. Acts chapter 16, for example, here's Paul and his fellow laborers, and they're in a location in their second missionary journey, and they don't know whether to go east or west. And you remember that in that chapter, the Macedonian call came, come over and help us. And he gathered assuredly that the Lord was directing him to go west. And as you all know, he arrived in Macedonia, Philippi, and all the other places. So it shows that today, at this late stage, before the Lord returns, there is possible for a believer to know the mind of God for the days ahead. You see, think of that hymn there. I was thinking about it earlier today. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah, children through this barren land. We are weak, but thou art mighty. Hold us by thy powerful hand. Bread from heaven, feed us now and evermore. So, please give these simple truths. We have sought to revisit them. Revisit them in your own experience. Salvation, restoration, and direction. Illustrated for us in these three outstanding nights in the history of Jacob. One at Bethel, one at Penuel, and one at Beersheba. May the Lord bless you all for coming today, and we appreciate the worship and the adoration and thanksgivings of the folk, those that were honorable and those that were inhonorable. And we're all in this together, and we do trust that the Lord will preserve us, everyone. You certainly need encouragement as you have tried to do this, to keep the saints together after all these months. I know assemblies that are not doing what we're doing today, and sadly, the dear saints are scattered in different parts. So the Lord bless His Word and bless you all and the assembly to continue.